The promise of eternal life. Elder Bruce R. McConkie clearly stated the Lord's promise to members of the church who remain true to their covenant relationship with Him. Listen carefully to his words. They are so encouraging. Quote, "All the faithful saints, all of those who have endured to the end, depart this life with the absolute guarantee of eternal life. There is no equivocation, no doubt, no uncertainty in our minds. Those who have been true and faithful in this life will not fall by the wayside in the life to come. If they keep their covenants here and now and depart this life firm and true in the testimony of our blessed Lord, they shall come forth with an inheritance of eternal life. We do not mean to say that those who die in the Lord and who are true and faithful in this life must be perfect in all things when they go into the next sphere of existence. There was only one perfect man, the Lord Jesus, whose Father was God. But what we are saying is that when the saints of God chart a course of righteousness, when they gain sure testimonies of the truth and divinity of the Lord's work, when they keep the commandments, when they overcome the world, when they put first in their lives the things of God's kingdom, when they do all these things and then depart this life, though they have not yet become perfect, they shall nonetheless gain eternal life in our Father's kingdom. And eventually they shall be perfect as God their Father and Christ his Son are perfect." Close quote. Just think of all of the people you know in the church who are regularly covenanting and trying to be better, and also sincerely trying to serve people on both sides of the veil. Think of all their peculiarities and idiosyncrasies, their weaknesses and limitations. But now think of them as being perfect in Christ. Think of how His perfection, His righteousness, is compensating for their weaknesses and limitations, and how they are truly on the path to eternal life. Many times when I've attended funerals and listened to the lofty eulogies of people's lives and virtues, I have wondered if those people were really as good as they were being described. I've even heard expressions of the assurance that these people were taken into heaven, that they would be together with their loved ones as part of the eternal family, which of course means exaltation and eternal life in the celestial kingdom. And I have often thought, how can they be so sure? I understood better as I witnessed the passing away of my sister Marilyn from a wasting cancer. She had just been released as the Ward Relief Society president because of her drastically failing health. But she was consumed by her desire to bless her posterity through her death by teaching them how to die and therefore, in a sense, how to live for purpose and meaning and each other's happiness. She was extremely close to her children and grandchildren and cared for them so constantly in her prayers and her daily actions that she could hardly do anything without thinking of them. Right at the end, although she was in agony, she was full of good humor, and her consciousness was inside the hearts and heads of her loved ones. Each one in turn, whether a child or a grandchild, she attempted to bless, to teach, to testify to express love to. I was to speak at the funeral, and as I prepared my talk, I thought of this scripture. "If your eye be single to my glory, your whole body shall be filled with light. And that body which is filled with light comprehendeth all things." I thought, what is God's glory? It's to bring to pass the immortality and eternal life of man. What is Marilyn's focus and purpose? It is God's glory. I found myself thinking of her as a perfect person. At that time, I hadn't made clearly the distinction between being perfect in Christ and being perfect like Christ. But as I think back on it now, I can clearly see that Marilyn was perfect in Christ. She, like the rest of us, had so much growth and development to go through before becoming perfect like Christ. Nevertheless, the Spirit of grace, the Spirit of the Atonement, and of Christ's righteousness compensated for her weaknesses and supplied the lens through which I saw her. So I saw her as a perfect person. I could not think of her weaknesses or faults at all. They were totally subsumed in the Spirit of grace and charity. I saw her as one whose eye was single to the glory of God right to the end of her life, to the very last breath of mortality. Her feet were firmly planted on the path leading to eternal life. This was all confirmed during the funeral within me and many others, and I have no doubt that she is still on that path, doing work for her loved ones and many others. I wished I'd understood the distinction between being perfect in Christ and being perfect like Christ a long time ago. I think I would have perceived things differently, other people, myself, in fact, all of the processes of life. To some degree, I've been influenced by a strong culture that defines salvation as a kind of human perfection, teaching that even though we believe in the atonement, we basically save ourselves through our good works.